the scripture this morning. Be dressed for action. Have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master return from a wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. And then verse 39. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. As you hear those scriptures, what is it that comes to mind that you immediately begin to think about these scriptures talking about? Historically, it seems that the thing that has come to mind for most has been the second coming of Christ. And recently, this has been a very popular topic, maybe to the point that we are a little sick of hearing about it. With the close of 1999 and the beginning of the year 2000, the talk of the second coming was on many lips. Y2K, the computer problem, became synonymous in some people's minds with the end of the age and the coming of the new age in Christ. A book series came out that many have read and been very excited about, the Left Behind series. I'm not sure what anybody reading that and know which one's out now. Are they in the fifth or sixth one? Eight books in the Left Behind series. Very popular series talking about some of the things that might happen as we look at the scriptures and think about Christ coming again. It's continuing to be a popular subject as we head into the new millennium. The year 2000 has come and gone. And now it's been approximately 2,000 years since Jesus first uttered these words, and similar words throughout Scripture. The disciples heard them with excitement in their day, and it was always thought that this was going to be an immediate thing. As generations have passed, every generation has felt that this was going to be, at least some part of the generation has felt that some point in history, during their time, things were ripe and right, and it was about to happen. But as time has passed, an uncertainty has come with the waiting. And we begin to see more and more what Jesus meant by the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You almost begin to think any date we pick on the calendar, he goes, okay, there's one we won't do. And so, as we wait, what do we make of these scriptures? Be dressed and ready for action. The Son of Man will come at an unexpected hour. How do we appropriate these for our time? Do we get all harried and worried about the day of Christ's coming? Do we begin to get our calendars out and plot possible dates? Do we speculate? Do we come to our pastor and say, okay, what's the date? Well, the reality is that Jesus has said that he didn't know, and he didn't tell his disciples, and I can tell you right now, he hasn't told me. So speculating about when it's going to happen is probably not the best use of our time. We're not going to be able to second guess God on this. We've tried and been wrong over and over. So maybe there's another approach to reading the scriptures. Maybe there's another look that we need to take on that. Now, certainly, we do affirm that Christ will come again. But as we look at our lives and our faith, and we read these scriptures for today, we do not know if the second coming will come in our lifetime, our children's lifetime, their children's lifetime. But one thing we do know, as believers in Christ, we will see Christ. It will happen. We will see Christ either in the second coming or as a gospel spiritual that my husband particularly likes, when we cross the chilly Jordan, we will come face to face with our Savior on the day of our death. It really doesn't matter if the second coming is a matter of our lifetime or the next generations. There will be a day of reckoning when we will indeed see Christ. And maybe that's how we need to look at these, in the sense of our true and certain knowledge that one day we will indeed see our Lord and Savior. And just like with the second coming, most of us are not going to get a real good warning on this. There was a pastor who was meeting with a group of men. And as they began to talk about things, one of the men in the group said, "You know, I really hope I don't die suddenly. Because there's a lot of things and a lot of relationships I'd like to get straightened out first." Another man in the group spoke up and said, "Well, then why wait? If it's something worth doing, why not straighten them out now? Why wait?" The words in the scripture are about be dressed and ready for action. Take initiative. In fact, in the King James Version, it says, gird up your loins with your lamps lit. Now, as we did Vacation Bible School, probably some of you began to see a little bit of what it would be like to be dressed in the attire of the biblical days. The long flowing robes with the belt around your waist was that could be very cumbersome when we were trying to make bricks, you know, and the robes were getting in things. They could be very cumbersome when we were trying to be ready for action with all the kids. And soon some of the kids were saying, "I don't want this thing on. It's impeding my movement." Well, what they did to be ready for action was they would take the long flowing robes, the men would, and they would wrap them between their legs and stick them in their belt. They would gird them up and they would become like leggings so that they were ready for action and ready for movement. They were prepared. Long before the Boy Scouts came out with the slogan, "Be prepared," that was Jesus' slogan for us as Christians. We don't know the time. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour of Christ's coming. But we do know He will come. And we do know what He's asked for us in the meantime. Many times I have heard persons talk about their relationship with Christ. And I am always astounded by the stories of, "Well, you know, it was way back in 1932 when I gave my heart to Christ. Well, it was back in 1961. I was at a tent meeting and I gave my life to Christ." And you begin to wonder, what has their life been with Christ since then? It's as though they got their ticket punched and now it's just a matter of waiting on the bench at the bus stop for Christ to come along and pick them up. They're ready to go. They've got their bags packed and they're sitting there with their ticket punched. Is that the picture that you have with this scripture? Be ready. To me, it's a much more active, a much more sense of expectation that we are not just laying low till we can get off this place, but that we are actively involved in all that Christ was about here. In the old Methodist class meetings in the days of John Wesley's, they had three rules. The first was do no harm. Now that does seem kind of passive and easy enough. Just, you know, keep your hands off the stuff that could mess things up. Do no harm. That was the first rule. Sometimes it takes some activity to do no harm. The second rule was do all the good you can. Now that's going to take some thinking and activity. And the third was attend to the ordinances of God. Now, that's probably not language we would use now, but basically, do the things that Jesus taught us to do, that we might grow in faith That's the gathering to worship. A lot of these things you do. The gathering to worship, the reading our scriptures, the praying. One that we're not quite as good at, fasting. These were attending to the ordinances of God. Those things like communion, serving the poor, doing the things that Christ called us to do. Be ready. It's an active, vibrant sort of ready. So often, I think, when we think about being ready for the coming of Christ into our lives, we think of something as that's distant. Or we think of, oh my gosh, it was going to be tomorrow, all the things I would have to do, and the kind of frantic activity that would take place. But truly, think about it. When you're truly ready for something, and it comes along, there is no frantic pace. It's kind of part of the natural process of the day, when you're truly ready. You're prepared and ready to enjoy it. I don't think Jesus wanted us to be frantic in any way about his coming. And truthfully, I don't think Jesus wanted us in any way to think of his coming as something far away and in a distant future, or something that happened long, long ago. But didn't Jesus say he came to us and would never leave us? Don't we sing Emmanuel, God with us, every Advent season as we celebrate who Jesus Christ is for us? And don't we talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps there's another way that we need to be expectant and ready for God. And that's the inbreaking of God into our everyday life. Ready to see God in the moment. To see God in the face of that neighbor. To see Christ in our coworker, our grandchildren, the doctors and nurses we encounter, the beautiful day. Perhaps the real challenge for us is to be ready and expectant and prepared to open the door of our life every day to what God has to offer for us now. Because eternity is not something that starts at our death. Oh, no. Eternity is something that starts today. We in Jesus Christ have been given eternal life. It's heaven now, folks. And the opportunities are endless. The question is, are we ready? The question to ponder is, if Christ was to come this moment, what would you want Christ to find you doing? Oh, it is my prayer that it would be exactly what I am doing. Without hurry. Without frantic. Without despair. And definitely without laziness. But with that constant commitment to my Lord and Savior, who I know is in my life today and always. Let us pray. Lord, you have been so faithful to us to come and be with us despite our unfaithfulness, and to tell us of your love and your compassion, and to draw us to yourself. But Lord, let us not be lazy. Let us not think our ticket is punched and all we have to do is wait around for you to pick us up off this God-forsaken earth. Because, Lord, you have not forsaken this earth, but you have died for it. Lord, open our eyes that we might see how you are actively involved in our life and the life of our neighbors. Teach us your ways that we might be ready for action the moment we hear you knocking on our life. And that we might gladly step out with you into the great ministry that you have prepared. We praise your name. Amen.